was a Baptist preacher who was preaching at a conference of pastors. And he asked these pastors, how many of you have preached against homosexuality? Hands went up, proudly, high. They stood on chairs. He said, good, good. You have effectively and faithfully proclaimed 0.1% of the Word of God. He said, now how many of you have preached a sermon about helping the poor? You can hear the crickets. And he said, good. You have faithfully and effectively ignored 20% of God's Word. There's three kinds of lies. You've heard that. Little white lies, blatant in your face lies, and statistics. And I spent about a half an hour on the internet looking for statistics on how Christians compare to the world in various areas. And I found that depending on who you listen to, we are either doing a fantastic job or a horrible job. I don't know who to believe. So I'm going to worry about us, okay? Ezekiel faced a tough problem. He was proclaiming God's word to those he was told would be, promised would be. God vowed to Ezekiel, you will preach to a rebellious people. Anyone want the job Ezekiel had? If you have even a quarter of a thought of taking on Ezekiel's job, hear these words from the Word of God, Ezekiel chapter 33, starting at the 30th verse. Now, son of man, your people are talking about you near the city walls and in the doorways of their houses, and one person speaks to another, each saying to his brother, come, hear the message that comes from the Lord. Sound good? So my people come to you in crowds, sit in front of you and hear your words, but they don't obey them. Although they express love with their mouths, their hearts pursue unjust gain. Yes, to them you're like a singer of love songs who has beautiful voice and plays skillfully on an instrument. They hear your words and they don't obey them. Yet when it comes, and it will definitely come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we want you to bless this country, but we know that it will only be blessed if we choose to change our lives, to conform those lives to what the Word of God says. Move in us to do that, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, this is a preaching to the mirror sermon. So no matter how hard I get on you, I'm getting harder on me. What's the message of this passage? Now, Kevin's preached a sermon or 20. And I want you to imagine, Kevin, that the Lord comes to you and says, Kevin, we know you're preaching this Sunday, and they are going to come in droves. They are going to be setting up chairs in the hallways. They are going to pack this house. They are going to set up a television camera and have overflow seating at Phyllis's house. They will come to hear you. They will amen you until you fall over. They will pat you on the back and say, preacher, no sermon ever moved me like that. And they will walk away and ignore every word you said. How's it feel? I thought we wanted big crowds. I thought we wanted full chairs. Verse 31a, come and hear, but do not obey. My people come to you in crowds, sit in front, and hear your words, but don't obey them. What does James tell us? James 1:22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Ezekiel's people hungered for the Word of God. Amos said, hear this, the days are coming, this is the declaration of the Lord God, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of bread or thirst of water, but of hearing the words of God, hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and roam from north to east seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And that day has come, just as predicted, just as prophesied. God says, you know what? These people are in a famine. They're hungering for the word of God, and you are the delivery boy. People come in crisis times. When the September 11th attacks occurred, we had 5 guests at this church the next Sunday. Well, the attacks occurred on a Tuesday. I got a call that afternoon that a multi-church prayer gathering was called, and we were packed. And where were those people the next Sunday? People will come to the Lord in a time of crisis. God really is their co-pilot. I can take it from here. Folks, God isn't nearly as interested in Sunday as He is in the rest of the week. People have come to hear and not to obey. Not to have lives changed. We were scared, weren't we, when those attacks occurred? We were scared of terrorists. I had some friends in Canada say, you know, if you feel like you're in danger, you can come up here. That's how scared people were. Now, living here in Wisconsin, I wasn't just terribly frightened. Where I live, if a plane flew into a building, nobody'd notice. But that all passed. That all changed. And I've often felt that America is living really in the book of Judges. God pays us no mind for a while. We get kicked in the shins. We come screaming to God. God says, okay, I'll work with you. All right, God, we've got this now. And what happened in the book of Judges? Exactly that. They also came to flatter, but not to change. Kevin, great sermon, outstanding message, really moved me. Bye. Although they expressed love with their mouths, their hearts pursued dishonest profit. Now, I did a lot of research on this passage. I'm going to read to you the New Revised Standard Version translation, which is also valid in this place. For flattery is on their lips, but their heart is set on their gain. It doesn't have to be, the Hebrew term there does not have to be dishonest gain. Even, let's give the benefit of the doubt. You preach a great sermon, but you know, I could be making double time at the factory. Is that honest gain? Absolutely. But it's a wrong attitude. As John writes in 1 John 3:18, little children, we must not love with word or speech, but with truth and action. And what we need is that which transforms. And we're going to have a chance to do that today. Believe it or not, we have a chance to do that today. God wants to bring change. And you know, someone once asked me, why should we always talk about changed lives? Don't you think that our lives, there comes a point where it doesn't have to change? I said, yes, when you're perfect, then you don't have to change. In fact, please don't. Once we're perfect. Until that time, and I'm not expecting it this week, when I come to meet before God, if I truly meet Him, I'm going to have a changed life. And I may not like that change, but I'm going to need that change. Now, how many of us get stuff we don't like and desperately need? Thirdly, Ezekiel talks about how people, or actually the Lord talks to Ezekiel about how people come to be entertained and not transformed. Let me guarantee you, you come to this church to be entertained, you have come to the wrong place. But I pray that you'll be transformed. Yes, to them you are like a singer of love songs who has a beautiful voice and plays skillfully on an instrument. Okay, that ain't me. But it was Ezekiel. And the Lord says, they hear your words but do not obey them. How willing are you to be changed? Do you want your life to reflect the Word of God in how you work, in your marriage, in your other relationships? Should your life reflect God's Word in the mundane, drab Monday morning or Tuesday morning stuff that goes on? When Jesus preached His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, He ended it with these words: "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great." Now, I titled this message, Sand or Rock. And you can see graphically the results, can't you? My question is this. In your notes, you have this line, from sand to rock. See it in your notes? Take a look at your notes, and at the bottom, you see a line. And you see a smiley face. Question, where is your smiley face? Are you closer to the sand, or are you closer to the rock? Does your life change as God's Word comes to you? Now, it would be a wonderful thing for me to say, go from this place and build your houses upon a rock in everything, every minute of every day. Amen. Sound good? Or sound a little challenging? Can I ask you to do one thing? If you have one, get one of these pens out and write down one thing you can do, will do this week to move just a little closer to the rock. Will you pray for Vacation Bible School on a daily basis? It'll move you closer to the rock. Will you come to prayer meeting? It'll move you closer to the rock. Will you be at Sunday school next Sunday when you haven't been in the past? It'll bring you closer to the rock. Will you invite someone to Vacation Bible School, or invite someone to church, or hand someone the tract, or tell someone about Jesus? It'll bring you closer to the rock. Write down one, only one. I don't want to. There's an overachiever in every group. Just one thing you will do this week to move one step closer to the rock. Only one. Now, folks, let's covenant with God. I'm going to give you a moment to write, to think, to pray. God, I know what your word says. I'm the Bible answer man. Ask me a question about the Bible, I know the answer, but I know too often that my actions are far from it. And so I'm 1,000 times more accountable. Father God, draw my heart to the rock. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just this closing thought, and I want this because this is the weekend of the birthday of our nation. After the September 11th attacks, Peggy Noonan, news reporter, asked Ravi Zacharias a question, and I've shared this here before. Asked him, these people are not afraid of our military. They are not afraid of flying a plane into a building. They're not afraid of anything. What are they afraid of? And he said, they are terrified of a morally strong America. They are terrified of a morally strong America. I urge you this day to terrify the terrorists of this world. Be the people they fear.